Okay, so we are at November 7th already, 2016. The 6th of Mar Cheshvan. Tav Shanayin Zayin. We are in Perk Ches of Vayera, and a couple of interesting points that are made. A bunch of interesting Rambans over the course of this parak. Surprise, surprise. The Ramban first in Pasuk Vav. So we pointed this out as we went through the Chumash and Rashi on Friday, where Moshe asks Paro, Pasuk Hey, by Yomer Moshe leParo, he's Paro, Laila Masayat Yerlecha, when do you want me to get rid of it? And I can get rid of the Sephardim from you and from your house. Only they're only going to stay in the river. So Moshe asks Paro, no, you know, you're really bugged by these Sephardim, frogs, or I saw it translated someplace as crocodiles. I remember when I learned this in grade school, they pointed out there was crocodiles and different translations translated in different ways. Crocodiles can help you understand why there's a little more danger, as is a little bit described a little, in one of these psukim, that there was some danger from the frogs. So anyway, Moshe asks Paro, no, when do you want me to get rid of these? To which what do I think Paro would have responded?
Now!
Get rid of them now! But yet Paro doesn't. Paro says, Vayomer lemachar, why don't you get rid of them tomorrow? So why are we waiting until tomorrow? So the Ramban asks that. The Ramban says, Yodea ki mina kol adon levakesh et taso raso miyad. Generally, the minhag in the world is, if somebody asks you, when do you want to get rid of this tsar, this thing that is causing me pain, the minhag is to answer, now, as Sam just said. So why is Paro saying, let's wait till tomorrow? It says, Uperishu b'shem hagon Rav Shmuel ben Chafni. Anybody know who Rav Shmuel ben Chafni was? I don't know either. But a footnote in the Ramban says that it was Rav Haigon's father-in-law. So that's pretty early. That's the period of the Gaonim living in Bavel still, around the 9th century or so. So he quotes from Rav Shmuel ben Chafni, Shaparo Chashav, that Paro thought like this. Ulai me'rechas ha'shabayim he'viyat tzaratim al Mitzrayim, that maybe it was because of the heavenly spheres that brought the Tzfarnim into Egypt. U'moshe yada ki higia es suram, and Moshe knows that the heavenly spheres are moving in such a way that it's time right now that the frogs are going to leave. V'lchein emor la'elav, therefore I said him, hispar lai b'chashvo sh'omer lo atalek risim miyad. But so Moshe came to me now, asking me, when do you want me to get rid of them? Moshe knows that they're about to leave anyways. He expects Paro is going to say now. So then the frogs are going to leave, and Moshe is going to take credit, even though they're supposed to leave anyways. So Paro says, I'll trick him. I'll say, tomorrow. Ha ha! And then the frogs are going to leave now, and Moshe's not going to, and then Moshe's going to look like he didn't know what he was doing. So Valkin Harich Lamacha, that's why he held up till the next day. I thought that was great. Very clever. The Ramban continues on and says, Vanachun Be'inai, but what I really think is correct, I don't know why that wasn't correct, but he says, what I really think is correct is Kiavursha Amr Lamataya Tid Lacha, that Moshe said to Paro, when do you want me to get rid of them? Paro figured, well, he doesn't mean today, he means when in the future, in which case I'll say tomorrow. Tomorrow is the earliest option. So that was, that's the maybe the simpler explanation, but I really like the first one. Anyways, that's Pasuk Vav. Another thing that we pointed out when going through this the first time is that when they left from Paro, it says in Pasuk Ches, Vayetze Moshe v'Aron mi'im Paro, Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem, and Moshe called out to Hashem. So we pointed out that other psukim didn't describe it as calling out to Hashem, rather it was Vayesar, the Moshe, and it'll beseech Hashem. Vayetzak is like calling out in a loud voice. So why did he have to call out in such a loud voice? So there's two interesting comments that I saw. One is by the Sifsei Chacham. Sifsei Chacham, in commenting on Rashi, says, Ha'olam, makshima olam, that the olam asks, the people, the world asks, well, why does the text change? By Tzfardim it says Moshe called out. By the other makus it says Vayesar, that he beseeched, that he just davened. So what's the answer? Because there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that when a person davens, they have to hear it in their ears. That's which is coming out of their mouth. And the Sfardim were so loud, they were making all that noise. They couldn't hear him. As Rashi says soon, they need to hear their voice in their tefillos. In order so that they be able to hear the ear of their tefillah. So that's why here they have to call out. The other ones they just beseeched, here they have to call out at the top of their lungs because the frogs were so loud. Maybe that's why they say we frogs and not crocodiles, because frogs make noise, crocodiles don't make noise. Maybe it was both. I think if you look in the illustrated Haggadah that was put out by what's his name? Rabbi Chait, the one who did the Hilchos Shabbos picture books. So he also did the Hilchos, he did a Haggadah. So I think there he has all sorts of frogs, crocodiles, alligators. He's got them all coming out of the Yor. So you'll see all the Shitas. Anyways, so the Sforno actually has a different shot. The Sforno says, why do they have to do Tzaka? Why do they have to call out? So the Sforno says, Shiyasos matzvartim bilvad, asher sham leparo. Vayisharu biyur. He says, because he wanted to remove the tzvardim, but he didn't want them to leave completely. He wanted them to all go into the river. So he's saying, I want the tzvardim gone, but not so gone. They should go there. They shouldn't be here. So that's a little bit more of a difficult tefillah. Why? He says, uvazeh chutzruch letefillah tzaka de palga min shamaya lo yave, because the Hashem doesn't grant tefillahs halfway. If you want the tefillah, you can't say, I wanted this, but I don't want it that way. I'd like to have ice cream, but I don't want sprinkles. You can't get too choosy when you're picking your tefillahs. So because this required a precise tefillah, that the crocodiles or frogs should stop being here, but they should only be there, so therefore it required a greater amount of tefillah on behalf of Moshe. That Gemara...
We do that all the time. Every day when we do... When we dominate Shemon Esrei,
yeah.
We ask for, let's say, we ask for
Parnassa,
but then it should be
in a
not in a bad way.
Yeah, but it's not halfway. It's not right. But we're not saying halfway. I want tefillah in the best possible way. You're not saying I want it halfway. You don't say I want to become rich, but not so rich. I mean, I want to be rich, but under the threshold, I could still, I don't have to pay extra in Obamacare, right? That's right. There it comes. You've heard the joke on not really a joke, it's really a halacha, that Rosh Hashanah night, you're supposed to have the simanim, we have all the nuts, and we don't have the nuts, but we do have other things, that if you take the gematria of this, it spells out that. So, and the Magen Avraham comments there that you should also do things in your own language, not just to match up with the way it sounds in Yiddish, but also you should do the Siman Rosh Hashanah in your own language. So there, the custom came along to have half a raisin, celery, and lettuce, and have it together. Why? Because if you put it together, it spells out, let us have a raisin salary. Right? That's one of the minhagim to have Rosh Hashanah night. So we once had somebody over, and we made reference to this joke, to which he said, yeah, in some communities, the custom is to have the lettuce, raisin, the raisin, and the celery, but to eat it under the table. Why? Let us have a raisin salary, but they should know about it. We should be able to gain it under the table. Right, anyways, you didn't hear that here. So, but that, by the way, that line, the palga mit shemaya lo yave, that half from a Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't gifted, or Hashem doesn't give tefillos for half. That I looked up that Gemara. The Gemara is quoted from Sanhedrin Daf Samach Dalad Amun Aleph. What's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Dalad Amun Aleph? So that's the famous story of when the Jews tried to get rid of the Yitzhara. That the Yitzhara was the Avodah Zarah. It was the Yitzhara for Avodah Zarah, and they were able to get rid of the Yitzhara for Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says. So It came out like a wolf. It came out of the Beit Kodesh HaKadosh, and they sealed them up and they threw them down low. So then they said, it's an Eis Ratzon. Son of Kodesh Baruch Hu was listening to our tefillah, so let's get rid of the Eitz Hara for immoral activities, for Gilui Arayos, for sexual sins. So they did. They got that Yitzhara, and they didn't kill it right away. They just held it hostage because they wanted to see what would happen. And then the story goes, 3 days later, they couldn't find an egg in the marketplace, right. Meaning that if there was no desire for immoral sexual relations, there was also no desire for sexual relations in the first place. Now, I remember quoting this Gemara once, and somebody pointed out that chickens don't have to have...
Fertilized.
They said fertilize the first time. They don't need to be continually fertilized. So it's a good kasha. I actually sent the question to Nassim Slifkin once and asked him if he didn't have a parents, from what I recall. But anyways, that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara then continues. So that's a famous story about the Yitzhahara. I mean, that's a very important thing to understand about the Yitzhahara. The Yitzhahara is not just something that's telling us to do bad things. The Yitzhahara is motivating us to do things, and we have to direct it in the appropriate way. Right? So the Gemara then says, great, what do we do now? What do we do now? Right. So we can't. So let's. It says, "Great. Let's change it so that we get rid of the Yitzhahara for immorality, and we only have the desire for morality. We only have the desire for morality, not for immorality." And that's when the Gemara comments, "Sorry, it doesn't work that way. Sarah de palgamin shemayin lo yave. Sorry, that you can't get tefillos. That tefillos don't get answered halfway. It's either one or the other. Either you have it or you don't have it. But you can't split it. That only works for one and not for the other." So then the Gemara says, all right, well, they knocked out the eyes of the Avodah Zarah. That way there's no desire for immorality with one's close relatives. So in theory, the Yitzhahara for incest was gone, but there still is a Yitzhahara for general immorality. Okay, anyways, that's the Sforno on Pasuk Vav. I'm sorry, on Pasuk Ches. What else do we got here? Pasuk Yudal, another interesting Ramban. So Ramban and Yudal says that's when the kingdom were created. Moshe created the lice, and then says in Pasuk Yudal 14, "Vayasu kena chartimim b'altehem lahotzi esakina v'lo yachlu," that the chartimim also tried to make the lice and they weren't able to. "Vatihi hakinam ba'adam uva behema," and there were these kinam by the adam and the behema. So the question, of course, raises itself: why couldn't they do it? Why were they unable to make the kinam? So Rashi says, well, because they're too small. That the shade doesn't have bilus, doesn't have the ability isn't master over things that are less than a barley grain. We pointed out already on Friday that the Gemara kind of rejects that. The Gemara says, no, that's not exactly what it is. Rather, they couldn't bring it over. It's too small to come from someplace else. Okay, so the Ramban actually adds in something else. The Ramban says, and why they don't go ahead and quote the conclusion of the Gemara, I don't know. But the Ramban says, "Amar v'yasu keisha hachu ba'afar ha'aretz v'amru hashvas hashedim v'asu latehem kasher asu b'shar pamim lahotzi sakinim v'lo yachul." They pound the ground asking the shadim. They asked the demons to do the tricks just like they did the previous tricks, and they weren't able to do it. So it's not that the chartamim, right, they tried and it didn't work. So v'yitakein sheyilmud v'yasu kein she'asu kuhugan dvar mutzim esakinim v'lo heitzlichu ma'aseim b'pam hazos. And the Rabban says it's possible that they've tried it before. In the past they were able to create kinim. And this time they just weren't able to. So that's when they knew that Hashem was the master. Meaning the previous time they were able to create blood, they were able to create frogs, they were able to create the snake out of the staff. This time they weren't able to. They've been able to in the past. Okay, they were able to in the past, but this time they're not able to. So that's why they realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really running the show, that he's in charge of these things. Okay. What else? There's a decent-sized Ramban also. Pasuk Tesvav. So it goes on for a while. We'll do a part of it. So the Chartimim said to Paro, what do they say? It's the finger of God. And Paro hardened his heart. Listen to them. Kashir diber Hashem, as Hashem had spoken. So we had Rashi saying that the reason they couldn't create the kingdom is because they were too small. We had the Ramban saying that the reason they couldn't create the kingdom is just because it didn't happen this time. That it happened in the past, it didn't happen this time. Comes the Ramban again and says, "Venira be'inai od. I see even more. He makes adam lafuch tolos amayim adam, because blood was turning water into blood, and the tzvardeim just came out of the river. So they could do that. Ke'im behem bria o yitzir, was there is no creation there." Rak makasa kinim haite yitzira, but with kinim came creation, and that they weren't able to do. Right? We had referenced that before. So then he continues on and says, "Umashi chazik divrei hatzvardeim." Amram, so what's the story with the Tzfardim? So he quotes the Medrash. The Medrash is also a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Achsam, Sayan, Amad Beis. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Tzfardeya Achas Haisa, Hishritza Umala Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. That the Tzfardeya, as we quoted from Rashi, Rashi's really quoting the Gemara, that it was one frog that came up. Right, that's what the Pasuk describes pretty early in the Perek. It says, Vahalas Tzfardeim Al Eretz Mitzrayim, and he did it, and the Tzfardeya came up. So what was the Tzfardeya that came up? So Rashi there quotes that there was one Tzfardeya that came up, and every time they hit it, another Tzfardeya came out. So they kept hitting it, and more frogs came out. So that Rashi is quoting from Rabbi Akiva. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah turns to Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, Ma'alach Akiva Eitzel HaGadah. Tell me, Akiva, what are you doing with these homiletical teachings? Why are you teaching, why are you giving a drasha? Your space is not to give drasha. Kalech midibrosecha b'lech Eitzel Negayim Ha'alos. Cease your words in this, you know, this drasha class, and go and teach negayim and oalos. What are negayim and oalos? Those are two mesechtas and taros. All right, oalos are the rules of what's considered an ohel, a tent, in terms of tumah v'tara, purity and impurity, and negayim are the laws of tsaras, the laws of somebody getting what we call today leprosy, maybe, but the physical ailment, the physical manifestation of the spiritual ailment that is known as tzaras. So those are known as being two of, if not the most complicated and technical mesechtos in the entire Shisha Sidri Mishnah. So what he's saying is, Akiva, leave the drushos to people like us. We're the ones that handle the homiletics. You go and teach Negayim and Olos where you belong. So what did he say? What was Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, his vort? He says, no. Sredei achas haisa, shirakalehem vehim bo. That they croaked and other ones came. I mean, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who says that there was one big frog that was the master frog, like the marshmallow man in Ghostbusters, right? There's just one big frog that, as long as you hit it, it keeps the other stuff coming out. So the Tzfardeya, no, it was one Tzfardeya who, right, called his friends over, and they all entered into Mitzrayim. Why he prefers that, I'm not sure. So Shalom Ra Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, Shiyolcho Chartimim Lahavi Teva Chadash. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azari's complaint is that if you create this, because it says the Egyptians were able to do what Hashem did, right? It's common to the Tzfard, right? They couldn't do Kenan, but they could do Tzardaya. So if all they did was bring one or two frogs in, so that doesn't prove anything, because God created a big frog. So they have to create a big frog. But to create a big frog, that requires a Bria Chadasha. That requires a new creation. So they can't create new creations. It will create old creations. So therefore, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah preferred the idea that rather than being one frog that they keep smacking, it's one frog that kept calling all his friends to join him in the Egyptian land. Yeah, okay. Here's one other idea that comes from the Ibn Ezra. Umash Amar Rabbi Elazar ki Moshe lo hudiyam makas hakinim nir be'inai shehaka aron b'matel in eparo kasher asa b'ficha aval lo hasrubo. Right, this is something else that we need to keep track of as we move through. That we saw by the kinim that Moshe was just given instructions as to what to do. He wasn't told to go in front of Paro and warn him by blood and by Tzfardeya. So he was told, go in front of Paro, tell him this is going to happen. And then when it happens, everyone gets excited. So here he didn't go ahead and warn him. So why did he go ahead and warn him? So says the Ramban, Ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masur B'Paro Rak B'Makos Asher Behen Misa La'adam. That Paro only got warned before the Makos that led to death, that caused people to die. Now, you might ask, well, what about the Tzfardim? Well, if you translate Tzfardim as crocodiles as opposed to frogs, that's why I mentioned before that maybe there's an idea to call it crocodiles, not frogs. This is it, because that was considered something that was dangerous. Right, because the Pasuk said, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim that says, Uksib Tzfardim, he anticipates that question, it says, Utzfardei v'tash chisam. There's a Pasuk in Tehillim that says, oh, the frogs came and destroyed them. So apparently there was some kind of destruction that came along with Tzfardim, similar to the, by another one, I think by Dever. Dever sounds like only the animals died, but it's not true. There are other, there are people apparently that died as well. So the Ramban defends his thesis that that when did they, that's the pattern. When did they get warned? If it was a life-threatening, I was thinking of a different word though. If it was a life-threatening or capital danger. So then they would get warned. If not, they wouldn't need to get warned beforehand.
Oh, it's interesting. Almost all the diseases we get transmitted from animals, like the swine flu, the chicken flu, the bird flu. But people didn't do animals, they had less diseases. Diseases are transmitted. So, theoretically.
Sorry, we'll see when we get to Devon how that holds true.
I was reading a history about different.
You were reading history of different diseases, and apparently they come from animals.
Yeah, a lot of them. That's why and one of the reasons in America is they didn't keep animals and they were so vulnerable, they didn't develop resistance that we had in Europe.
Okay, so he commented also in Pasuk Yud Ches, v'hi fleecy. Bayomahu es Eretz Goshen. So he separates Eretz Goshen. Now we set up this this division, the land of Goshen, Asher Abi Yomid Alel, Levatiya Yosham Orev, that the animals won't go there, Lamatidak, Yani Hashem Bekar Va'aretz. Everyone will know that I'm Hashem in charge of the land. So the Rabban here also asks another question. Why all of a sudden now do we have this Goshen distinction? Right, this is already the third plague. Why over here does the pasuk take the time to point out? Oh, by the way, it's backwards. Turn one way, turn the other way. Why is it that that all of a sudden now we decide? Oh, we have to mention that Goshen was different. They were saved. They were separated, etc. So the Ramban says, "Bavur hayos hamakos harishonos omdos enu pelish you peres yisrael v'lo peres Goshen." He said because the first makos they were stationary. Now the frogs weren't exactly stationary. Apparently they weren't. They were relatively stationary. They just came out of the river and bothered all the people near the river. The Arov. This is already Arov.
Talking about the.
Yeah, we're already up to Arav, right? The Fleecy. They had to be separated at the Kenim also. The Kenim were wherever the Kenim were. And they didn't, and it's not so crazy that they would go to, that they wouldn't go to Goshen. The problem with the Arav, with the wild animals, is where the wild animals come from. They didn't all of a sudden show up, fall down from Shemayim. They came from someplace. So if they came from someplace, that means they can go someplace else. They are not, by definition, not stationary animals. They're going and bothering people. So that's why the Ramban says that therefore you have to point out that Goshen was going to be separated. They weren't going to be able to get into Goshen, despite the fact that they're traveling throughout the rest of the land of Israel. This was This is a migratory makah, migratory plague. We got the animals that are spreading throughout the land of Mitzrayim. It is fitting that they would also end up in the land of Goshen, which is included in Egypt. Although there was a little bit of an issue in the Yehoshua Shir. The Yehoshua Shir talks about them conquering all the way south to Goshen. It's a lot.
Why would you?
What?
You sure we don't think that past Sinai? Yeah.
Right. So it's unclear where exactly Goshen was and what he's doing and what they're doing going down there.
They go through Sinai.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
What?
Or both. Anyways, so the assumption for now, until we get up to Yehoshua, is that Goshen is in Mitzrayim. That's where all the Jews were. And he said, as well, Omer v'samti pedus bein ami uvein amecha. Now he says that there's going to be a separation. In this pasuk Yud Ches, it says the separation between Mitzrayim and Goshen. Then pasuk Yud Ches, it says, and there'll be a separation between my nation and your nation. So what's the difference? Why in one pasuk does it say a separation of Goshen and the rest of the land of Mitzrayim, and the second pasuk it says from the Jews to the non-Jews. Just say there's going to be a separation. So why do we need both of them? He says, oh, that separation, the Rabban says. Ah, shafilu b'Eretz Mitzrayim. Even the Jews that lived in Eretz Mitzrayim proper, yimtzu achayos ha'ish Yehudi. If the animals found a Jew, lo yazikuhu v'yochla ha'mitzrayim. He wouldn't bother the Jew, he would only go and bother the Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says, yishlach mem marovi achlam, v'zehu lashon pedusi, ketam nasati keperach Mitzrayim kosh. Okay, that's what the language is teaching us. So there was two separations going on. One separation is that Goshen wasn't attacked like the rest of Mitzrayim was, and the second separation is that the Jews weren't attacked like the rest of the Egyptians were. Yeah, one's talking about the land that everybody can see.
One's a territorial thing
that they're not going through. They're all over the land of Egypt except for that territory. Yeah. And the other one is that not all the Jews were necessarily in Goshen the whole time.
So if
there was a Jew that was going around, so the Jew wouldn't be attacked someone else would.
Is there some assumption only Jews lived in Goshen?
I think the assumption was that only Jews lived in Goshen, but I don't think only
that Jew gave them.
Only Jews live in Goshen, but not every Jew lived in Goshen.
Right. No. Just Levian were in Goshen. That's why. You're never enslaved. Don't give me this stuff. You don't.
Right.
It's not your.
Like only Jews live in Lakewood, but not all Jews live in Lakewood.
How is that related to
wild animals? That's what the Ramban is saying. The first few plagues were all stationary plagues. That the frogs were.
Frogs were
stationary? Yeah, so you gotta fit that in a little bit and say that, well, the frogs were near, they came out of the river, so the Goshen is not necessarily close to the river, so they didn't go all the way up to Goshen. You have to say something like that. I thought of that also, yeah. But somehow they were stationary enough that it wasn't so shocking that they didn't end up all over Goshen. But the wild animals, which by definition weren't coming from internally from within Egypt, rather were coming externally from outside of Egypt, so it makes sense that they would travel all over the place. So that's the story. All right, Bruce is going to get upset, but I.